So we said, when it comes to chinuch, the first thing we have to know is patience. And this is the hardest thing for parents, because parents want to see their children succeed today. They don't want to wait. And any small thing that goes wrong, parents get nervous. Wait a second. If a child starts taking candy, the parents think he's going to be a thief. That's it. No, it's normal. First graders take candy. They take money, they take things out of your wallet. There's a normal stage that every child steals, but they don't view it as stealing. And the parent has to have patience and know that there are stages that children go through. So the first thing we have to have as parents is patience, savlanut, because we have to allow the child to grow. Part of growing is exploring, making mistakes, and learning. And in order for us to function best with our children, we as parents have to be in equilibrium. We have to be balanced. The second we're off balance, we're not doing what's good for the boy. We're not doing what's good for the girl. We might be doing what we feel must be done, like there's a fire, we have to put it out. But we're not really doing what's good for the child. The first thing we have to do is take a step back. Before we react, it is rare that there's something that you must react. Rare. You know, a child picks up a knife against the sibling, you have to react, okay? I agree. There are times that you have to react. But most often, if you didn't react this time, it'll happen a second time and you'll react then. You know that before I hit a child, almost always, I will talk to my wife. So you'll ask me, how do you talk to your wife? When it happens, you can't talk to her. Mm-hmm. The answer is, the first time it happens, I don't hit him. Me and my wife have a conversation first. Is he at a stage? Is that what he deserves? Is that what's going to be best for him? Maybe he needs more love, not to be hit. Anything a child does, almost always they're going to do again. And if they're not going to do it again, so you don't necessarily have to react. Sometimes it's better that we don't see. We make believe we didn't see. So the first rule is patience. Chinuch doesn't happen in a day. There are rare things that require a reaction, and if I don't react, it's over. It's rare. Most of chinuch is really how they say I lead my life. Not what I keep telling them, but what I keep doing. They learn much more from who we are than what we say. What we say has its impact, but children sense what's true and what's not. And if a child sees that his parents are learning Torah and love Torah and care what Hashem says, that's chinuch. The parents have to tell him, you have to explain to him, but what the child really learns from is who we are. When we explain it, when we show it, when we tell it, and we live it, then together we have excellent chinuch. But if you say one way and live the other way, you don't have chinuch. What you say is not going to teach them anything. So we want to get them to good habits. And in order to do chinuch, we said chinuch is getting them started on a path. They have the choice afterwards what they're going to do. Everyone has Bechira Chofshit, but we have to get them started in the correct path. So if we want to do what's right, we have to be calm. We have to work with patience. We cannot work out of pressure. Oh no, everything's going. Patience. And we have to think. We have to plan. Now I'm with you. What were you saying?
Patience is going with time. I feel sometimes things are just run out of our hands.
You have to know even then you're not helping your child if you're reacting and you're not in equilibrium. Parents sometimes do something and they feel I didn't do what was best for the child. Sometimes a parent will say I should have sent him to a different school. Sometimes a parent will say I shouldn't have yelled at him. Sometimes a parent will say, I should have given them better food. I should have been tougher. They should have gone to sleep on time. If they would have had more sleep, they would have been doing better. Now, if we look at ourselves, see what's wrong, and fix it, become better parents for the child, good. If we look at ourselves, see what's wrong, and start feeling guilty, and start dealing with a child out of guilt, 99% of the time, what we do to a child out of guilt is not good for the child. It's what we want to do to make ourselves feel better. So if I yelled at him and he didn't deserve to be yelled at, and then I want to give him a candy and I'll let him sleep late and I'll do a... Everything I'm doing is to make me feel better. But is it what he needs?
No.
I have to think. If I made a mistake, and parents make mistakes, It's part of being a parent. We're human. How I fix it. But in order to fix it again, I have to work out of equilibrium. I have to be balanced. The second I'm working out of guilt, sorrow, pressure, I'm not doing what's good for the child. It's very, very hard. I once had, I don't remember what it was that my son did, and my wife said, such chutzpah, how did you let him get away with it? So I said to my wife, because he got me very angry. And when I was angry, I couldn't decide if what I was doing was out of anger or because that's what was good for him. So I asked myself, what's better for him? That I react or that I don't react? Because I'm angry, but he deserves a reaction, but I don't know if my reaction is going to be right. So if I can't know that what I'm doing is right, I don't have a right to do anything. So then I have to press pause. I have to walk out of the picture. I have to tell him what you did is wrong, and very wrong, and you should know that, and walk away. Maybe he deserved a harsher reaction. He did deserve a harsh reaction, but I'm not capable of it at that moment. I'm not perfect. I also get angry sometimes. So we have to know good parenting stems from being patient, thinking it through, and working things out together. This is the next point that's critical. If you want to do what's good for your child, you will work together as parents. Now, men have their strengths and women have their strengths, and sometimes they contradict. You know, when I have to take my kids out the gun, I say, we're going in 1 minute. You want to eat what you want? We're going. You have 1 minute and we're out the door. And then I put their teak together. Here's your teak. Here's your bag. You want a drink? Take a drink. We're going. Bye. Finished. We go. My wife, when she's taking the children out, please finish to eat. We have to go. No, you didn't finish to eat. We have to go. It could take them 25 minutes to leave the house. That's normal. That's good. If they had to live with me all the time, they would never be happy. If they had to live with her all the time, they might not turn out the way they should either. We balance one another. They know that Abba has his way of doing things, Ima has her way of doing things. They react differently, but we have to respect one another, respect the way she does it, she respects the way you do it, and think together. Sometimes she says, take more time, you can't pressure them like that. They have to have time to finish their food. I say, I give them a half hour, that's it. They've been playing games all day. But they'll be hungry in school, but they'll learn their lesson. Tomorrow they'll eat like mensch. Okay. There are discussions. There's always, each side says my way, and each side should be open to hearing the other side and going more, a little bit this way and a little bit that way. And then we learn from one another. If we work together, we each gain, and the children gain the most. When parents are in conflict, the children lose. The biggest loser is the children. Parents who don't respect one another are ruining the children. In a child's mind, there's yes and no and black and white. It takes many years for a child to start understanding that there's gray. In a child's mind, Abba's always right and Ima's always right. Now, if Abba says this and Ima says that, and they contradict and they argue and they don't respect one another, and by a child, that's a problem. Now I have, he's always right and Ima's always right. How could it be? But Abba isn't respecting Ima, but Ima isn't agreeing with Abba, but Abba does this way and Ima does that way. So the fact that we're different and we have different ways of doing things, that's fine. If we contradict one another, then we have a problem. We have to work it out. And we have to know that it is rare that you will gain anything worth what you've lost. I don't know if there can ever be a case that you'll gain anything worth. By contradicting one another, you've lost. In the child's mind, you've confused them. So parents have to sit together and talk and work out what path are we taking with our children. Now, the path could be, I'll be tough and you'll be nice. I'll demand and you'll help. There can be a duality. It's always best that the other parent demands respect for the other one. Meaning that if you hear that they say something that's not respectful to your wife, you react and you say, what a chutzpah. Not that she reacts. And she pushes up the respect for you. That's the way it should be. If they see you respect one another and they see you demanding respect from them for one another, that's good in their eyes. It's always better than a person demanding respect for themselves. So far we're together?
Okay.
Now let's deal more directly with the issue at hand. We all grow in a positive atmosphere. Every person grows better when he feels good and good about himself. very often when we want our children to achieve, we work at it in a very direct way. You have to get 100 on the next test. It's a very bad move. You have to pass the next test. Very bad move. What am I telling the child? I have a demand, you will have to produce. So parents try to work the other way. If you don't pass the test, you won't get a good job. If you don't learn, you won't succeed in life. Where's all this going to lead you? What are we doing? We're building up pressure. Are we getting the child moving positively towards something? No. Maybe we're scaring them. Maybe we're pressuring them. What are we doing? We are expressing our fears to a child who's a little child. If they understand it, that's way too much pressure. If they don't understand it, we got nowhere. So it's a lose-lose situation. Those are routes we shouldn't take. Fair?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then what route should we take? So we look at the Rambam. The Rambam says, the way to encourage is with positive rewards. The Rambam says, even adults need rewards. So on the one hand, we always try to train our children to do what's right without an expectation for a reward, right? But on the other hand, we have to be realistic. We also look for rewards. We want someone to say a good word. If we did a good job, we want someone to appreciate it. We all have our form of rewards that we need. And the truth is, we need them. A good wife will show appreciation for what her husband does at work and what he does with the kids. A good husband will show appreciation for what his wife does all day with the kids and with the family and with the food and with everything she does at home. That's what breeds a good relationship. And everyone has to work at it. Because our nature is that we appreciate what we do, but we don't appreciate what someone else does, because that's obvious that they do it, right? What I did, well, that's a big thing. Look at what I did all day. Look at how hard I worked all day. What they did, of course. What's a wife going to do if not prepare the house? What's a husband going to do if not bring parnasa? It's very obvious to each one what the other one's doing, but it's wrong. And that takes training. It takes training in every relationship. With children, it's easier. The truth is, with children it's easier, because we don't compete with our children. With spouses, even though we shouldn't compete, there is always an element of competition that shouldn't be there, but it is there. With children, there's no competition. So if we're only aware of it, then we can automatically foster a good feeling in our child. So what does that mean? The child comes home and he has a scribble on the paper. You could look at that paper and say, what a nice thing you drew. If your wife did it, you wouldn't. You wouldn't be able to. But if your child did it, you could. We love our children, totally different than our spouses. And it's easy to see positive. So the first thing we have to do is show positive, not negative. Not disappointment when something goes bad. Much more important to show the positive when something is good. And the more we show positive, the more they want positive. Children appreciate it. So if we buy a new book for a child, we want to encourage the child to read, and we see them sitting there and reading, we could come by and we could say, that's beautiful. It's so nice. Maybe read it to your sibling. Encourage them to... We have to find ways to encourage them in the direction in a positive way. So, some children like to feel like they're a big brother or a big sister. So we can tell them, why don't you read a book to your sibling? Even a children's book. Our focus here is getting them to read, right? The more they read, the better they'll read. We could work it in roundabout ways. We get them a book to read their younger siblings. We get them a book and we tell them, why don't you read it to the doll? You could be the parent, you could be the mommy, you read it to the doll. What many parents do, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it, and the Rambam writes that this is what we do in education as well, what many parents do is they give a direct reward. When the child is 9 and 10 and you want them to read, so you could give them 5 shekel for every book they read. You choose the book and then they could take the money. They don't spend it on their own, but you go with them and they know that they could buy certain things. If it's a new dress, if it's a new toy, whatever it is. So long as it's not bad, they know that they have every time they get something like that. Some children now want pizza. They know that when they finish 2 books, they go out with Abba or Ima for pizza. They go out, their thing. Other children are going to say, but you didn't do that for me. And the answer is, you're right, you didn't need it. If your older children start complaining, but I didn't have it, you don't tell them in front of that child, But you tell them on the side, look, each child gets the encouragement they need for what they do right. If you feel it's causing jealousy, so you'll have to find a way of doing it with the other children. But it is legitimate to tell the other children, you had what you needed, and she has what she needs. Direct encouragement is worthwhile. Encouragement, not pressure. You have to leave it to them to do it, but you have to find ways that they will enjoy it. It is worthwhile to have an open conversation with the child. Probably better you than you. It's better with the mother, because the father has a very hard time covering up his pressure. So you can think about it together, what options you're going to offer her, and then you could sit down and talk to her and tell her, look, you're doing great in school. Bezat Hashem, in the reading, we're going to work to make you even stronger. Notice you started positive, and we want to figure out a system. You can make a chart with stickers. Some children like stickers. I think she's too old for that. How old is she?
Latibia?
Yeah.
Eight.
I don't know. She's probably too old for stickers, no? Stickers every time she reads a book.
We work with that.
You work with stickers? Okay. Beseder. But I think you might have to up the ante a little bit. You might have to make something more serious, find her books that she likes, and you have to work with what she likes, and encourage it that way. And what you could also do is help her express herself. Tell her that after she finishes a chapter, you, the mother, not the father, she should come to you and tell you about it. It's better if you do it in a way that's innocent, right? I won't have a chance to read the book, but if you tell it to me, then I'll get to know what's in it. I don't have time. I'm dealing with other children. I'll tell you what. When you finish the chapter, do me a favor. Stop. Come and tell me. Now, when she comes to tell you, the first thing you have to do is, wow, you finished the chapter already so fast. You're doing so good. Find the positive. It's very, very important. And it's also important to maintain a positive self-image for the child. You have to, if she's going to sense, or she already knows, that you're pressured over her reading. So, what points have you pointed out that she is positive about? You have homework now on the way home. You have to think where you, not you, you. If you're the one that put in the pressure in the house, then you have to find the points that you're going to tell her positive feedback. No, isn't that fair? We have to build her self-image. She can't walk around thinking, Abba thinks I'm no good because I don't read, but Ima's okay with me. No. You know, with our children, we're always careful when we have a gift or when we have something positive, a surprise we're going to give them. Often it's from both of us. And sometimes we say, okay, you've been tougher with them, you give it to them. It should come from you. Sometimes I'll bring home a cookie or something and I'll tell my wife, you give it to them. They heard from you, A, B, C, and D. I want the positive to come from you. Sometimes my wife will say, we have this, let's give it from both of us. Sometimes it's from me. You have to gauge how you're doing it. If you've been tougher with her, if she feels more disappointment from you, and disappointment is the word I want to use, but it's a word you should never use, then you have to fix that. So long as a child has a positive self-image, they have something to live up to. The Gemara says there was once a rabbi sitting, and a person came before him who was doing improper things on Shemitah. Before he could talk, he had a question in Halacha. The rabbi said to his students, could you ever see someone who's so careful in halacha? He's coming to ask me such details about the halacha. The guy walked away, keeping Shemitah better, because the rabbi described him positively. He had something to live up to. When Aaron saw a couple that had a fight, he would treat them both like they were the greatest people. They would walk away thinking, if he knew how we were treating one another, he wouldn't talk to us that way. Then they started behaving better, positive, working off of the positive. Well, our children need it even more. And in our children's mind, at this age for sure, their self-image comes from you. If you want her to grow, you have to give her a positive self-image. That means you praise when she helps in the house. You praise the way she dresses. You praise that she's tsanuha. You praise the way she talks. Look for things to praise. You know what's in your house. It should be positive things that you want to strengthen. If you don't want her dressing flashy clothing, don't praise her when she's wearing flashy clothing, right? You want to praise things that you want to strengthen. but you have to find things and a lot of praise. Now your other children are also going to want it. They hear you praising her, you have to praise them. Okay, so that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. When you strengthen the positive, then the child can grow. When you work out of pressure, you're killing him. None of us could grow under pressure, and we're also endangering their self-image. No child can work out of the pressure, well, I'm going to disappoint my parents. They'll work, but they won't be happy. And they might not work. And then you're risking their self-image and you're risking their future. I'm with you.
Mm-hmm. One question, is all are true.
I'm with you.
And one question is that the last point which I feel stuck is that I just came from school, from the TVS school, and then I tried to I just called them home, so I said the Nativia, the teacher thinks she lacks this and this, so we should give her more love, we should give more time, and when you even make her hair,
mm-hmm.
please say her with good words.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give her a kaha or don't sit, not this hope. And I care what I feel. I just get home, like everybody was kaha, and I start to talk. I thought the matter of it, أني شككت أقول ما معرفي رأيت لا تكيلا حد ما حدش كده from start I said today in the TV school we say nothing happened, it can happen greater things, and I said I will pray and Hashem Shemia I call we are there Lol de Berakshav I need to follow. Call you a sinner. So I said, I tried to the other way again to start. It was blocked. Like
with who?
Prayer
with
Rahel.
Okay.
Like everything is within the framework of only prayer. We don't have to do anything like physically. So I said, where is the balance? Our prayer, it works. But I feel that we need to do also all these principles. I mean, the Hinuch and the way we to appreciate. I know she knows, but in a way, to cut the discussion. Why we use this word? Like we pray, I will pray.
Sometimes, when a wife gets her husband upset, he says, "I have to go to work." Sometimes he says, "I have to go to the bathroom." Sometimes he says, "I can't talk." A husband could learn from his wife that he should say, "I have to pray." Sometimes it's pressure. If people can't deal with things right now. And it's fair. It's valid. It's legitimate. So prayer is important. I'm sure you agree that we have to do things, right? But sometimes the pressure is so big and person first says, "Let me talk to Hashem. I can't deal with this now." I had that with, what did we have? I don't remember what it was. Now, recently, we had something that was very dangerous, and I told my wife, "I have to pray. I can't talk to you now. I can't deal with it now. I don't think it's bad. I think it's right." Your wife agrees, right? You agree that there's a lot to do. Right? It's not that your wife says that.
It's giving an excuse to...
It is. It's an excuse not to deal with the husband. It's a nice way to tell the husband, "I can't deal now," which is fair. There's a rule that says when you say something on this volume, your wife hears it on this volume. When you put this much pressure, she has that much pressure. Because a person's wife is very, very, very pressured to do things the way he wants. She wants him happy. And if your wife felt you came home and you're applying pressure, so she says, "I can't now, I can't." Don't forget, you have a certain amount of pressure, things should succeed. Your wife has more pressure. She's the one who's home with the children all day, right? And the one who feels success or failure if she succeeds is your wife. You come with demands. She wants to see the products, and she feels like it's a demand on her too. No? So I think that when we speak about encouragement, we also have to speak about encouragement for the wife. The pressure not only hurts the kids. So this would be a conversation I'd rather have between me and you, but we're all together, so okay. But sometimes my wife tells me we have to discuss A or B or C. And I tell her I can't right now. And she says, what will be? The children, we have to work it out. And I say, you're right. Chinuch doesn't happen in a day. I come from Machon Meir at 12 o'clock at night. Sometimes my nerves are shot. You know, I can't always deal with the chinuch issues I have to deal with at home. So we wait for the weekend. We wait for Shabbos. Friday I end here at 10 o'clock. I can get some sleep. Very often our chinuch discussions happen Shabbos afternoon and Motzei Shabbat. Only after I've had time to sleep and think through what's going on can I start making decisions. So sometimes a decision will wait a week. And sometimes it's medical decisions, and sometimes it's chinuch issues. And I think it's only fair to give our spouses time. If we remember the first point we started with, and that is that almost nothing in chinuch happens in a minute. Things happen over a long time. Yeah, you could destroy in a minute. You can't build in a minute. Remember that. You could destroy. You could almost never build. Building takes time. Destroying can go quickly. It's legitimate if a wife says, I can't now. So Chazal teaches that a husband says straight, not now. And a wife does like this. Wife doesn't go straight. So she says, I have to pray. How about we should say we have to pray when they pressure us, right? We just say, not now, right? Okay, said. Am I wrong in what I said? What else?
This is
Look, I think it's important to do a practical test. You have to check her eyesight. You have to work with the school. If you have a good teacher, talk to the teacher. See what the teacher says and try to work with her. Remember, you're dealing with a child. She's not your partner. You have to think how to be smart and get her to do things. It's not like you're talking to someone who's on your level. You're her parents. So you have to think together and make plans and make games and think of how to encourage and how to be impressed. One of the ways to show her you're very impressed with her is that when you come home, your wife tells you, look, she did this, 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 and this. Then you get, wow! You know, my wife helps me. Sometimes I come home and my wife tells me, he built something, and go and be impressed. So I go into his room, ah, wow, this is beautiful. My wife tells me in advance what I should be impressed about. I don't know. He tells me, we finished this chapter. So I'm okay. My wife says, get impressed. Okay, wow, oh, wait, I didn't hear. What did you say, you finished the chapter? Help one another. You know, you're home all day, you guide him. Okay, so that's where, and you could also build it up. And in this, you're also building the chinuch. If you tell her, you know, when Abba comes home, I'm going to tell him. Or sometimes you could even, I'm going to call Abba to work. I'm so happy, I'm going to tell him.
No, she did even. Today, bring them matana, they did this and that. Even
so you should know, your impression, when you're impressed, is worth at least as much as a matana. You need the matanot, but you should know that your positive word and your impression, to the child, that's worth everything. And on the other side, if you're disappointed, if you're pressured, you're killing her. Let's be real. Let's remember perspective. We want her to read. It's important. But at the end of the day, if she doesn't read novels, she knows how to read, right? She knows how to read. So maybe she'll get a job as a fitness trainer. She'll teach people how to work out. You know, maybe her job won't be in reading. She can manage in life if she has self-esteem. I have people who I work with who can't read. They're dyslexic. They have other issues. They can't read. But they're very successful in life. Her success in life, if you build her as a person, if you make reading, this is it. If you have this, you'll succeed. You don't have this, you'll be a failure. You're setting her up to fail. You have to build her as a person. We also have to build her reading. We have to work with her on reading. We have to find ways to help her and succeed. And make sure to take her to good eye doctors. Don't go cheap. Make sure you have good eye doctors. Right now there's a handicapped child who spent the last 22 years not reading. And they thought he just didn't like reading. And they finally found an eye doctor who found this problem, fixed this problem, and the kid is reading book after book after book. He had a hard time reading, but the eye doctors didn't catch it. So we do have to give that time. I think it's important to read with her. Find books that you enjoy, read together, things that you enjoy. Not chinuch, not educational, fun. Fun, our focus here, let's remember what we're trying to get. We're trying to get her to enjoy reading. So let's make it fun. We shouldn't get things that are dirty.
I bought like 330 shekel. Okay. Books only with pictures, this and that.
Why are you buying and not your wife? I'm serious. I wouldn't. I assume that your wife knows your daughter better, no? No? Doesn't that make sense?
Mm.
I wouldn't. I would tell my wife to buy. I would ask my wife to buy. I'll babysit. You go buy. I don't. Who knows better what she likes? No. Maybe by you, you know better. I don't know. But I assume usually a mother knows better. I think in most good chinuch, if the husband listens to the wife, things usually go well. If they work together. Together. But the wife is the one that's home with the kids. You know, the pasuk says, Shma b'ni musar avicha. Listen to what your father says. Ve'al titosh torat imecha. And don't leave what your mother taught you. Why? Because the father comes straight on. He says, this is what you have to do. So the pasuk says, listen. But the mother doesn't work that way. The mother says, come do this. And she gets the children used to a way of life. Whether they like it or not, they have what the mother taught them. The pasuk only says, Al titosh, don't leave it, because you have it. What the father keeps trying to give, if you don't listen, you don't get. The mother is in their neshama, whether they like it or not. So the pasuk only has to tell them, Al titosh, don't leave it, because you have it already. Your father, what your father tries to give you, you don't necessarily have. So you each have your strengths. But you're the strongest when you work together and hear one another. Look, this is the first time. Try to apply it. Think about it. Zat Hashem, in 2 weeks we'll see if we need to meet again or not. Okay?
Okay.
I assume that you knew everything I said. But you know, sometimes you have to hear something even though you know it. So think about it. I don't think I told you anything you didn't know. You probably know it this way or that way. We spoke, think about it. Let's see if in 2 weeks we need to meet again. Thursday in 2 weeks. Let me know if yes. Okay?